What's up? This is Keith.
Hey, this is Ari.
What's up, y'all? This is Kim.
And this is Relationship X Religion Podcast.
So, y'all, at the time of us recording this, our dear beloved brother, DMX, has recently passed. So, in honor of him, and before we go any further, we know that this is a Christian podcast. However, we all grew up on DMX. So that is why we're talking about this now.
Right.
So in honor of him, what we're going to do is just talk about one of our favorite moments from DMX. Or a song. One of your favorite songs.
Okay.
Yeah. Go first.
Ari, you can go last because you got a story.
Yeah. I think I'll say I don't know if it's a moment. Well, I think it's a moment of my life. Like, DMX kind of got me through a lot of times in my life where I was on a low end.
Mm-hmm.
Or just a lot of his songs. Like, I don't even know what CDs, which albums, but Slip and Fallin', song that got me through a lot. It was just... He helped me be tough in times where I couldn't be. So that's why I love DMX, to the fullest extent. And then it's like, and period, me being a Christian, seeing him, seeing his Christian walk changed my aspect on how a Christian is supposed to be. So that changed me in so many different ways.
Right. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. One of my first memories of DMX was listen to a CD, and at the end of it, there was a prayer. And it wasn't just like a, God, thank you for waking me up. God, just he went in. And I was I'm confused. I'm a little conflicted. Because I was just rocking, and then all of a sudden, Lord, thank you, Jesus.
But that's the thing. So it's you can't, looking at DMX and seeing how he is, you can't say that just because you pray. You know how some dudes be like, man, I ain't praying because it's kind of soft. Look at DMX. You going to call DMX soft?
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So it's he showed that you can pray and still be you, that gutter, that raw.
Yeah. That was his life.
Yeah. He was being him 100%.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing this for the camera. He wasn't doing this. He was just being him.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Authentic. One of the interviews he was talking about when he was up at the Breakfast Club, and he was talking about one of his songs, and he was reciting one of the parts where he was praying, and he broke down crying yo, this is my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I'm fighting for my life. And I'm just I almost cried because I was this is this man is really going through, and through all of it, he has kept God first, regardless of everything that has happened.
Right.
But,
and real quick, one of my more favorite memories, the last time that I saw DMX on social media was when Leandria and one of the girls from this last season of Sunday Best, they had a little
get together
home session, whatever, and they were singing. And I ain't gonna lie, I laughed because he was throwing me off. He was, while they were singing, he was
yes.
And it was funny to me, but again, that's DMX.
He was always gonna be himself.
That's DMX.
Always.
Yeah. Always.
And even in that, you could tell them being there and being in the spirit and singing about what they're going through, mm-hmm. and him still in that moment preaching how God is still gonna carry you through.
Yeah.
It's just that's just who that man is. Yeah.
Yeah. And but that's one thing I loved about DMX. So many artists nowadays, they go through, and actually let me rephrase that. A lot of people, not just artists, but a lot of people go through and deal with stuff in their closet. They do it in the shadows.
Yeah.
DMX told us everything that he was going through.
Right.
Oh yeah.
He hid nothing from us.
Oh yeah.
But and still he always gave glory to God. He always prayed. He always, like, it was some it was a post that I saw on social media where they was like, at one of his concerts, he prayed on a stage, and Tiny Zeus from Friday.
Yeah, he came out on the stage,
and he went up on the stage bawling because of DMX prayer. And I'm like, stuff like that.
Yeah,
that is what that's to me.
It doesn't have to be in a church,
right? That's what the Christians are missing.
Authenticity.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, it don't have to be a church. We can do this anywhere.
Right. Like, it doesn't have to ministry, be in front of a congregation in a church.
And it doesn't have to look a certain way.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and that's the big part about it, because people will say, well, a lot of Christians probably wouldn't. Like, oh, what was it? The video he came out with, was it They Don't Know? When he did the,
When he did the what?
The song's going off my
one
head.
One of them he did a lot of, I think it was like some scripture in it.
He does in a lot of his songs, so yeah, that's some like
a lot of songs. I hate that I didn't write that down. Right, but I just thought
now
about
I got
it.
That song stuck in my head.
Right, but I just thought about it. But it's like, just because I do what I do doesn't mean that I don't love God. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can go pray. I mean, it was authentically him. He could go pray and then go on the stage and cuss 1,000 times. But
I don't know if this is correct to say, but in a sense, his life was similar to David's. In a sense,
I can see that.
He's a very modernized.
Oh yeah, very, very modernized. Right. I said, in a sense, not right, not 100%, but a man after God's own heart. Yeah, still,
that's what I was gonna say.
Still living, going through his mistakes, his sins, his. You still saw how much he loved God and how much he needed God and presented God to everybody else that was around him.
And he wasn't ashamed of it.
Right.
That's the key, not being ashamed of what you believe in.
Right. Right. Exactly. Right.
Okay, are we focused? Because we about to go.
It's
into
a quick story. Right. It's not so a long story. It's a quick story. So, when we were younger, we lived in California. If you listen to the first season, you would know that. So my brother used to be into gaming, and this is kind of at the point where like the whole kind of competition gaming was going on, and people would go to like conventions and play like different games for like different like Nintendo and all that stuff and PlayStation and all that. So my brother got invited to do that, and so they had to go to the convention out in Anaheim. So when he was out there, he was getting ready to go into the convention center, and they were getting ready to cross the street, and DMX and his entourage were coming down the part, like, you know how you like are walking up to, say you're like walking up to like a hotel or something, you have that walkway area, and like on this side there's still like the curve, and then you have like the part you can drive through. They were coming off of that part, and like my brother was getting ready to step off, and he came through driving his BMW and almost ran him over. And my mom my mom was cussing him out.
Not your mom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Listen, I
love my mother to death.
I've never met her, but I believe if she almost ran over, I mean, if he almost ran over her child,
yes,
I believe it.
Yes.
I don't know. Not the woman I talked to before.
Okay.
That's listen, a whole nother topic.
I know a lot of mothers, and Mama Bear come out no matter what.
But my brother was like, Mom, you can't cuss him out. That's DMX. Yeah. You can't cuss him out.
Like, right. I don't care who it is.
He look, it was my fault.
I shouldn't have been walking here.
Right.
But yeah, that was my quick little story about when we were younger.
Cool. That's cool.
All right, y'all. So we've been talking for a minute, a good 10 minutes. So let's go ahead and get into this episode. So this episode is the traditional church versus the millennial church. So as we've been going through this now year and change, we've had to make some changes as far as how church is and how we even meet, how we listen to church, how we are able to see the sermons, and what used to be something that was just not a a luxury, per se, but the ability to just, you know, be at home and live stream or listen to the sermon not in the building became something that was necessary,
right,
in this last year and some change.
It's crazy that it's been a whole year already,
right? That, so, you know, more traditional churches, you know, they may record the sermon and put it up for replay later, but it wasn't something that they necessarily did like every Sunday live streaming.
They struggled. Yeah. They struggled for
right. A while. Yeah. So with that, what is necessary as far as like the traditional church versus the millennial church? It's, well, what we learned in this last year is that, you know, church is more beyond the four walls. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. We don't have to be in a building. We don't have to be in the four walls of the church. And traditional church is more considered being in the building versus the new millennial church, where it's cast everywhere, around the world.
Yeah, everywhere. YouTube and right. Instagram and everywhere, basically.
Yeah, so with that being said, like, the traditional church versus the millennial church, and going forward, how is that going to affect us? Like, how does that affect people? But before we even go into that, like, what do we define as a traditional church? Mm-hmm. And what do we define as a millennial church? For me, a traditional church is not as
open.
Yeah, not that necessarily. It's more strict, I guess. Mm-hmm. Just the aesthetics of it, it's very old school pew setup. The basically nailed down to the floor, stand in the front, your choir stands at the front. I'm just thinking like back childhood,
right? You have a choir,
right? You have a choir,
right?
Those who can sing and those who can't.
Organs,
yeah, the organ players. It's very stuck in a certain time period.
Mm-mm. I'm gonna add on to that. You got the usher board.
Yes.
Yeah. The ushers with the all white, with the white gloves. Oh, yeah. Back. You got Sunday school with the banners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tradition.
Yeah. And then you think millennial church, more flashy, more lights and cameras and angles and colors, more social media,
more laid back, basically.
Yeah,
I think
for me, like, the traditional is more so rule based as opposed to what it looks like. And I say that because the example that, okay, so growing up, I grew up in a more traditional church where women couldn't wear pants in the sanctuary. They couldn't speak at the main podium. They had to, if they didn't preach, they spoke.
Okay.
And I said all this in my intro, whatever, but they had to speak down at the announcement podium. They couldn't go up to the front. So, for me, a traditional church is, like I said, is more religious, as opposed to being worried about relationship and the people that's coming.
Yeah.
And like they're correcting them, but they're correcting them as a, more so as a parent or as a teacher, as opposed to loving them into correction. And then the millennial church, for me, I could sum it up as a church of the current time. And I say that because, like, one example that I have, excuse me, Kiara Sheard and her church, or Bishop Sheard and Karen Sheard, their church, they're a Kojic-based church, and
Kojic.
They're very. They got so. Kojic has. Don't try to find out, because you'll be like,
yeah. No. Kojic is a Kojic.
Right. Yeah. You. I'm telling you. If you get into Kojic, you'd be like, I don't want to no more. Nope. Yeah. I'm done. But one thing I can say, and just from seeing what they're doing, just online and in this season, because like they've had online services, and just seeing how they are, they're a mix of both. They're a mix of the traditional church, because again, with Kojic, you have to do a lot of the traditional stuff, but at the same time, they are transitioning and evolving with the time. Yeah. So they know, like, they're appealing to the older saint as well as the younger saint.
Yeah.
And like how they're appealing to younger, they having Kiki and other young people, young ministers within the sanctuary and within the church to minister and to, like you're saying, bring the words, whatever. So for me, it's not as much of aesthetics, because I know a lot of, well, I should say I know a lot of, but there are, I'm pretty sure there are a lot of churches who have like actual buildings that are millennial churches. But right now, because there are a lot of new churches coming up, you see a lot of them in schools and gymnasiums and just in random places, hotels and stuff. So a lot of them are mobile churches.
Movie theaters.
And mobile churches are good, except for the people who got to set up and break down.
Oh, Lord.
Everybody like mobile churches. Oh, it's so fun. No. If you're not doing
You
it,
get to leave. I have to stay.
Right.
And stay for 2 hours.
I don't want to tell the people who got to shut up, but shh.
Yeah.
Because you don't. All
right. And it's a rush. You can't be in the atmosphere. You can't keep it.
Right.
Like that old school church, you'd be in there at 5 o'clock if you had to.
Yeah, been there before.
And then not only that, like you said, like, so because I grew up in a traditional church, I still have some of those ways in me. And there are a lot of times where I'm like, I'll be at church now and I'm like, I feel like church is being cut off because we gotta go.
And
it's like, I just want God to, like, I just want us to be able to sit here in his presence and allow God to move, whether it be us worship, like praising him in a dance, or just a thick, heavy worship. Because for me, like, and I'm not saying that has to happen every Sunday, but like every once in a while, people need that. And
that
people
release.
Get delivered from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at the, you don't really get that too much in millennial churches, because a lot of them are mobile churches, or a lot of them have multiple services to get to, so they can't.
Yeah.
Like, for me, that's one of the things that I really miss about old school churches.
Yeah. I can see that.
I was thinking about something.
Oh Lord, this face.
Right.
I'm
right.
Nervous.
It just popped up.
Get ready.
Wait. So I'm going to go into my whole thing about my thoughts on millennial and traditional. But you remember what, like, they used to always say, well, I don't know if your church said it, but the church I went to that was traditional, they used to always say the doors of the church are always open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are they really open? Like, I never went on a day that wasn't Sunday. So was it open? Like, you would just go in there and...
Churches that I've been a part of.
I
get you saying, because it's like, and it's crazy, because you see on TV where a lot of them have like, you could just go in and sit.
There's always
and, like,
a staff member there, and there's somebody that's a deacon or somebody who's always, you know, there for somebody who may need prayer. But I think that's not in some cases, not in all cases, depending on where you live, maybe. the saying is not necessarily tied to the building.
Yeah.
So it's tied to,
yeah.
Basically, they're saying, when they're saying the doors of the church is open, they're saying they're opening it up for people who wants to either join the church or get saved. Mm,
yeah, okay. To receive God.
That's their time for people to come. And basically, that's their time to come to Christ.
Gotcha.
And it depends on, in the situation that is being said.
Right, and that's why when they do it, you see people with their hands up.
Gotcha. Because I'm like, if I was to come randomly, never been to church, and I hear that, I'm like, oh, well, I come here Tuesday and try and get me, you know what I'm saying?
For the most part, there are churches that actually are open so that if somebody does need to come, but maybe not so in the sense of the millennial church. Yeah, now you think about it, that they, not even the mobile church, some of them that are already established in, they may not necessarily be open to the public. And I don't know if that's something to do with the time and days that we're in, with the safety of it.
I think it's a number of reasons. I mean, because truth be told, I mean, not necessarily, of course, the bigger churches, Mike Todd's and Stephen Furtick's and all that stuff, their job is to be a pastor.
Right.
However, some of the smaller churches, a lot of a pastors got a full-time job. So yes, they can't.
That is very true.
Yeah.
So, like, I know a lot of pastors that have a full-time job. So they can't be at the church 24/7.
Yeah, like, so some of my friends who are pastors, definitely, I work with them. Mm-hmm. So.
I was just wondering.
No, that's a good question.
It popped up in my head, but y'all know a lot of things pop in my head.
I didn't know what popped in my head. I was a little nervous. I wasn't sure where we were going with this.
All right. So, like you were saying, like to me, when I think about traditional, I think about the church where your whole family went there, or basically, it grew with the community.
Yeah.
And I was thinking
generational.
About it. Generational. So I was thinking about it as we were talking, and I was like, you know what? Like, some of these, the population has grown in a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And there's people moving all over. Back in the day, you really ain't move like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Now you move. Mm-hmm. So you could have a family church that everybody went through to for years, but then when somebody moves to a different area, that kind of messes up the traditional church. I think I'm still on point, but it's one of those things. That's what
that makes sense because the church that I attended with my cousin, our generation left, and a lot of us didn't come back.
Gotcha.
We still attend church, but we've moved on to a lot of mega churches in other states. Millennial churches. In other states, other areas, but didn't go back to that church that we grew up in. So,
same with me.
All right. Yeah. And so that's the thing that kind of trickles you away from that traditional standpoint, because once you moved into a bigger population of people in different genres of things. So once you move, because country towns or a small, like, lower population
more
areas.
Areas.
Yeah, they typically have more of the traditional style because that's what they know.
That's all they know.
Yeah, that's all they know.
I have family down in Shelby. And yes, country.
Yeah, I heard about Shelby.
It was country. Ooh, it's country.
It'd be funny going back to them churches because they people like, y'all know that song. You go back and you be like, dude, I ain't heard that song in about 15 years.
Right. It could hit you in two different ways. You could be like, oh, I needed that song. And then you could be like,
Lord, stop singing that song.
No, I needed that song, but I didn't need you to sing it.
That too. Tambourines and everything.
We still on the song, legit, and it's 10 minutes later, legit, and we still on the same song.
No, but legit, I want a tambourine.
I wish I could play the tambourine.
I want one so I can practice.
Banging. You gotta actually know how to.
Oh no! Listen, in the Kojic Church, they have people, like, they have a selection from the tambourine people.
Oh.
Like, they have a group and they just go.
Yes.
I'm seeing you.
I thought you just shake it, and
it's a whole thing.
Oh.
It's a whole thing.
You don't know then. You don't know.
Y'all know I don't do it. I mean,
it's a whole rhythm to it. And there's a whole wrist movement to it. And yeah,
I'm just like, baby, listen. Other than me kind of growing up in church because I had to, I don't know nothing. Nah, like, I ain't getting into all of that type of stuff. But I just know that the traditional church, it was like a, to me, my thought process, like, it was one of those things where you know you ain't come late, because if you come late, everybody's gonna turn around at you. Well, some people gonna turn around and look at you.
I still came late.
And then then you had the what do you call it? The women that wear the hats and stuff.
The mothers.
Yeah, the mothers. And the all that, like, somebody had to have a better hat than somebody else with the flowers and the poofs and all that other stuff.
The poofs.
like, you had those, all the deacons set up in the front. I think that's the right terminology for them.
Yeah, my daddy was one of them. And they did devotion. They do praise and worship. They did devotion.
Mm-hmm. You did. Mm-hmm. You had Sunday school.
Mm-hmm. Reading of the word.
Yeah, the reading of the word and the prayer, the covenant, and stuff like that. Like, that's
church
my
announcements.
Yeah, church announcements. Who was sick? The praise.
The sick and shut in.
There you go.
The
sick and shut in.
Pray for sister so and so.
Right.
She just got out of the hospital. Hallelujah.
Right.
But she's currently at home, so y'all keep her in your thoughts and prayers. Right. And if you can, bring her a meal.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, amen.
Sure will. Won't he will. But but yeah, you had those type of things. Like, you, and I was thinking about it too, like, back in the day, well, in traditional churches, like, when you make after you get to a certain point with your giving, you get like a plaque. Mm-hmm. Well, the church I went to, you get like a plaque.
It
like,
was a plaque in the hallway.
Yeah, you make, so you then gave someone, like, like today, I don't think you can technically do that. Like, because churches move. I mean, you probably could, like, online or something, or send you a letter and say, hey, yeah, you gave this.
But is it right, though?
Yeah, it's probably not.
We'll talk about that in the episode. Right.
Then I'll get real quick. A lot of people don't want people to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, back in the day, they was like.
But that's a Bible verse also. Like,
yeah. Right.
Like, we're not supposed to be showing.
Don't let your left
hand know what your right hand. Yes.
And so, not only that, don't do it for show. Don't do it for recognition, for honor. Let God honor you.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, so,
I couldn't. Some traditional church. I'm still going through the understanding Baptist and whatever. I mean,
the different denominations.
Those denominations. So, because there was some churches I go to, it was the hooping and hollering.
Why you was nervous? Like, wait, what did I say right?
No, because I didn't want to say the what is it? I don't know. All right,
the who?
So, well, is it? Isn't a
Baptist, Methodist?
What's all of the?
You say nostalgic.
Yeah, is it? What's that?
Now he got me throwing my words.
The apostolic.
Thank you.
Oh, I guess so. I don't know. Edit that out.
Oh no, that's staying in there.
No, edit that out. But yeah, so because I would go to some of those traditional churches and they had the hooping and hollering and the running around and the sheets thrown and stuff like that. So yeah, that scarred me. But with the moving on to the millennial, that kind of brought me in and brought me back.
You felt more comfortable.
I felt more comfortable because I could come in. It was dark. The lights were going.
Feel like people were more focused on you.
Right. Mm-hmm. You focus on the stage. You focus on me walking through that door.
That's a good point.
And I can wear whatever I want to wear. I mean, to a certain, now, I mean, technically. I mean,
you could, but it was still a slight dress code.
Right. It's a slight dress code.
Appropriate.
Yeah, appropriate. Like, I ain't gonna go in there with some tighty whities on, and you know what I'm saying? So, but it was a more, because I didn't get introduced to like the millennial church until I moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went through churches trying to find them, but when I got introduced to it, I was like, okay, I can do this. It's dark in here. The people not turning around looking at it, they're looking at the music. The music was upbeat. It was just a different feel. It was less focused on me.
Yeah.
So it could be a good or a bad thing with that. Like, when you go into there, it's like, all right, well, the focus not on me, but eventually you might want that focus on you.
But then that's also on the community of the church to recognize when there's somebody who's new, and not to, like we talked about before, don't bomb rush me.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, introduce yourself, you know, that's fine, but don't jump down our throats when we first get there.
Right.
You know, say, you know, hey, how you doing? Did you enjoy service? Blase, blase. Where are you coming from? Are you new to the area? Hey, that's, hope to see you next week.
That's what I did not. I could not stand in a traditional church. The new visitors.
Oh, yeah.
You had to stand up.
There was a song. There was a song. There was a visitor song.
A visitor song?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I had a visitor song?
Yeah. Man, what was it? And everybody would be clapping, and there was a visitor song. If I remember, it'll be in the bonus.
This made me think of some. The welcome, when you have programs, the welcomes, they would get up and welcome. You want to thank you for coming. We on behalf of the pastor, and then they get up, especially the old mothers. We welcome you once. We welcome you twice. We welcome you three times in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right, because I'm like, I stand up. I'm like, because you would hear the other people like, yeah, I'm from such and such church and this church. And I'm like, well, I ain't got no church. I'm here. like, what I'm supposed to say?
And that makes people feel uncomfortable. Like,
right.
I don't want to stand.
That's how I would look. I ain't got no church. But we here. So can we go on with the program?
Oh, my goodness. Part of making people, I get you want to make people feel welcomed.
Yeah,
you know?
But that ain't making me feel welcome.
A lot of people, it doesn't. It's embarrassing because they're just like, I just came to hear the message and see if this is a church I want to attend.
Can't
or I'm visiting
I'm
with
back.
My family.
I'm all the way in the back. And they looking like,
you back there.
Right. Or else with the more traditional churches, they have the ushers. So they, oh, you knew. Come on. We going to sit you at the front.
Right. Sit me at the front?
No.
Don't. Mm-hmm. No.
No.
I came late for a reason.
Yeah.
To sit back here.
Not coming late.
I come in late. I want to sit in the back. I know all the seats in the front taken.
I purposely came
late. So I walk in when the choir walk in. That's what I
did. Y'all see when Gary
when he walked in
with the black and he marching in with the choir?
And that's what you miss about the traditional church. They had the choir when they got
marching with one hand behind their back.
Listen. So I was in the youth choir and it was our anniversary or whatever. So we did this thing. It took us legit about 10 minutes to walk in.
Let me tell you.
15 minutes.
In college.
Wait, hold on. Real quick. Why the pastor was like, y'all don't do that no more.
Not the pastor.
He let us finish. He was like, it shouldn't take y'all that long. He was like, y'all don't ever. I don't want to. Y'all better not. What? I don't remember what it was. I know it was. We went for it, and then we went back.
Oh.
Then we came for it. So that took. So he was like. He got up. He was like, that was nice, but y'all don't do that no more.
How about we did that college and on our gospel choir? We had a whole procession to march into before we even started singing.
Oh, yeah.
10 minutes, probably. 10 minutes.
Dude, I used to love, I don't know, like stuff
a
like that.
A whole dance routine.
Like, for real.
Choreographed. Yes.
Because
You had enough time. You had time, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we said.
Obviously, you didn't.
We
took the time.
But they like, this is my house. If you want to leave,
this is our concert. You came to see us.
Like, legit.
You can leave whenever you want. This is my building. I ain't got to go nowhere.
Yeah.
Traditional churches, you had the choir anniversaries. Mm-hmm. You go to each other's churches and talk about it sometimes.
That's one thing that I kind of miss, too, with the more millennial churches, that they don't fellowship as much as the traditional churches did.
Very few do. I think that was that Hope City or was that Transformation, Mike Todd's Transformation Church? They didn't have service and had them to go. Mm. And I think Elevations does it too. It was like they had them to go to
Was it a month they did that, or it was a couple weeks?
I think it was a couple weeks at least. Yeah. Where he told them, like, look, go to other churches and love on them. Yeah. And
listen, I ain't mad. That's a good way for him to take a break.
Yeah. Probably was a break
for him.
But
he take his breaks.
We talking about Mike Todd, y'all. Yeah, he definitely takes his breaks.
But I ain't mad at him, because they need that for them to really recoup after that they give out.
Yeah. All right, so I have a question. Mm-hmm. With the differences between the traditional and the millennial church, how has that affected the way that we get to know God? Like, or does it, do you think? Like, because we're talking about, you know, how the traditional church is more strict and more has the more religious aspects of things, whereas the millennial church is a little more open to things, more door open policy, in regards to people coming to the church. How has that affected the way that we get to know God? Because we talked about this, I think, in the first season, where we were saying, like, you know, the ways in which people see the church, like the strictness, the rules, the judgment, and all those things. Do you think that with the millennial church, that has changed? Or is it still something that exists that affects people?
I say it's changed. And for me personally, I feel like it's changed for the better. Mm-hmm. 'Cause if it wasn't for the millennial church, I probably wouldn't be where I am right now. Because I felt more comfortable. I didn't feel judged. I didn't feel basically I didn't have room for the judgment to block my ability to see God. And with traditional churches, I feel like it was so many things I didn't want to do wrong. Mm-hmm. That it was blocking me from actually receiving, like, oh, well, I got to dress up. Mm-hmm. Or what if I don't have the right shoes on? Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Or what if I do this out of order? Or, you know what I'm saying? Or what if I don't give my envelope the right way? Or, you know, it was just those. It was so many things, because you could be seen in a traditional church.
Yeah, I can understand that. Everything was more upfront. Not in every church.
Yeah, not in every one.
But in some churches that you might go to, everything was, you know, you walk your tithe and offering to the front. Mm-hmm. You have to stand up and be introduced. There was more discussions about, you know, like we said, the church announcements. Mm-hmm. Everything wasn't so much, not necessarily behind closed doors, but kept more private. There wasn't a line maybe drawn for certain things. So I can see that part.
No.
And you feel uncomfortable and feel like, you know, like we talked about in the bonus episode about that guy who talked about, you know, the judgment of that young lady, and because everything is put out in the forefront for everybody. And we don't do that in the millennial church. We don't have people come up and have them to confess things.
Yeah.
So it's
ain't no more testimony service no more.
No. Not we'll say that in majority of millennial churches, if we're defining it from the perspective of, how could you say this? If we're looking at more so like a Transformation Church or Hope City or what's the name of that church? Elevation.
I know which one.
Yeah, I was like, which one? My mind went completely blank. Looking at from their perspective, it's not the same. Like, there may be some millennial churches that still have that aspect of it, but probably majority don't do that.
Right.
So that feeling of, I feel more protected and open to attending a millennial church probably has a lot to do with that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. I think that the new age church, I don't want to just say millennial, but the new age church is more so open to helping people to know who God is, as opposed to the old school church. And one thing is how they break the word down. Mm-hmm. Like I say this often,
more relatable,
very much so. Mm-hmm. And it's, they break it down to a level that it's understandable. For example, the church that I attend, or let me back, like growing up, we've always been taught to pray. You pray whenever, when things are going good, you pray. When things are going bad, you pray. But I was never taught how to pray. We were taught the Lord's Prayer. But you weren't taught that this is not what you pray. This is how you pray. And the church that I attend now, the pastor there, he broke that down. Like line for line of the Lord's Prayer, he broke it down. When he said this is what he meant. When he said this is what he meant. And he gave us pretty much a formula of how to pray.
Yeah.
So the New Age church does stuff like that, and it's more relatable as opposed to the old school church where they preach at you. Nowadays they're teaching you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I will say, like, if you did go to a traditional church that had a Bible study classes, like for a time when I first moved here and was attending a church with my cousin, we had to go to class first before we came to the main service. Mm-hmm. So we did learn, you know, the different books of the Bible and all those things. Mm-hmm. But like you said, we didn't learn some things like how to necessarily apply those things to our lives.
Right.
We knew it, and we knew don't sin.
Mm-hmm.
We knew you could go to hell.
Right, but we didn't know, okay, I have this urge. What can I do? Is there a scripture that can help me get this urge away? Or like, deal with this urge?
There wasn't that teaching of practical,
like transparency.
Yeah, that, and then like practical usage of, in situations, like you said, how do you apply these mm-hmm. things to your life? And like I will say, not until I attended a millennial church that I started to be able to apply those things, like from the pastor teaching from this book of the Bible. This is how this applies, or this mm-hmm. is where this comes in at, or how this can apply to you, or how you can see this part of the word in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it doesn't apply today, it might be something for later on down the road, or something that you can tell somebody else.
Right.
So, yeah, it definitely. Yeah, there's a difference in how we are affected.
Yeah.
In getting to know God. We definitely have a harsh side to it
mm-hmm.
when it comes to the traditional church. I'll say that.
I got something else I thought about, like with the new millennial style church. Also, I don't know if it's because we're of age now, but mm-hmm. if you look at the traditional style church, the only people that were actually serving and in the church were like older people.
Mm-hmm.
Like you looked at them,
that's pretty true.
It was like the older crowd, but when you go to a millennial, you see people of your age or younger
mm-hmm.
serving.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mm-hmm. more like, okay, well, if they can do it, I can do it.
Right.
Yeah.
But
the traditional church, you see them, you like, well, I gotta wait till I turn about 45, 50. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's probably not
come of age.
Right.
Right.
It's like, it's probably not that, but that's all you've seen.
Yeah.
Like, you see the deacon boy, you just see the gray hair going across. But going back to what you said,
a lot of times, that's because when they get of age, either they stop coming to church or they go to a different church.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. And maybe that has to do with the fact that we weren't receiving mm-hmm. what we needed.
Yeah.
in the traditional church.
Absolutely.
And it's not to say that the traditional church has to go away.
Yeah.
But
we just outgrew it.
Yeah. And there are some things that need to come of age.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they need to technically evolve. Because if you think about it, the churches we go to today, every church you probably go to, now they have something where you can re-listen to the app. I mean, like, re-listen to the sermon. Right.
Yeah.
Traditional church, you hear that preach, you better take notes.
Right.
Like, you ain't going to hear
it. Oh, you weren't there. Oh, I'm sorry, you missed it.
Right. You're not going to hear it again. You're just going to hear what he said. You should have took notes. If you didn't, you better get them from such and such. But,
right.
Yeah.
And today's where it's like, yo, you can go back and listen to it again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
But I also think that another thing is how we were talking. I can't remember if we were talking about this when we were pulling our notes together or if we said it in an episode. But, like, the New Age Church is more so for all people and not just a particular person. And that what I mean by that is for, like, they're doing things for the introvert. So, like, the online campus for the people that don't want to come to church, that don't feel comfortable coming to church, they have the online campus, and they have a lot of things that online people can do. I mean, people that aren't comfortable with coming to the church can do. I mean, granted, I know that's not the only reason, but
that
allows them to be a part of
that. Allows them to reach that group of people.
Right, right.
And... Okay, so, like, with the traditional church, because generations have been in this tradition of going to the church building, you know, like you said, generations of, you know, your parents went there, your grandparents went there, you go there, and just, I don't think that it's necessarily that they don't want to, but kind of get stuck in a piece of time where this is what we know.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say there's anything wrong with that, because there are families that have generations of people that go there. Mm-hmm. But how does that affect how people get into their relationship with God? Like, how does that affect, like, are you really there because you want to be there, or is it you're there because this is what you've learned from your parents and your grandparents? Like, are you there because you want to get to know God, or are you there because
that's what you've done all your life?
Right. And that's the part that I think there's a separation between the traditional church and the millennial church, because we have this exploratory kind of mindset, especially for our generation, of I want to know more, or I'm willing to know more.
Yeah.
But how y'all do it and how y'all have it set up, I'm not feeling that.
Right. It sounds like it's a secret that we got to discover for ourselves. And it's like, okay, I get that, but can you at least point me in the right direction? Like,
yeah,
help me out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely there. That part kind of separates the traditional from the millennial church in that aspect, and people wanting to approach a relationship with God. What were you about to say?
Something that popped up in my head. The other big piece that we probably missed out on is with the traditional, things were a lot more segregated.
In what sense?
In the sense of you had your black church and had your white church. They didn't intermingle. Like, you can go to each one, but do you feel like it's a different rhythm in both of them?
Well, we all know that.
Right. So it's like you couldn't really, even if you wanted to, just to get into it, it's like, I can't get with this. But in today's world, and millennial, it's easier for you to go to. It's a good mix. And you can just fall into it.
Mm-hmm. And I say we, I mean, just even like in the aspect of the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we got Hillsong and Bethel and...
Listen, we go from Hillsong to and Bethel to...
Right.
Travis Green, Kirk right. Franklin.
Right. Right. So...
And they all will get us there.
Yeah. And yeah, that... You won't see that more so in the traditional church. Not to say there's anything wrong with that.
No, it's just the way...
Yeah,
it was set up, and the thing like you can't sing a Negro spiritual at a
not that going down.
So it's just
every once in a blue moon, you might need to go there, but it's not as common as in a traditional church.
No, we're saying if you went or in the traditional church, if you were a black traditional church in a white traditional church, you weren't hearing no Negro spiritual.
Oh yeah.
You got a song on your heart, and you go to sing at a day church, and they like. Huh?
We have never heard this before.
Right.
And you clapping and eight.
Right. So
we don't clap here.
It's just a lot.
You clapping on a one and, on a 2 and 4. They clapping on a 1 and 3.
You done pulled out a tambourine and they like, who?
What is this?
But that's the, I feel like that's where millennial has evolved for more.
Yeah.
Like you said, more of an openness, more of a, hey, just come. Like, I don't care what you are.
Is a better mixture.
Yeah, it's a better mixture, and you feel more comfortable, like black, brown, purple, whatever color mm-hmm. you are.
Yeah,
you can come.
Yeah, it is more mixed as far as the congregation and the different ethnicities and everything mm-hmm. that you see within the millennial church versus the traditional church, where it is more still segregated. Yeah. I mean. Part of that has to do with, you know, populations and where the churches are,
mm-hmm.
but there isn't a lot of mixing just historically wise. It's just not a lot of mixing. It definitely makes a difference. So does that affect how we see the church? Like, so people are people more accepting of the millennial church than the traditional?
I think the millennial church is more so for the people who are burnt out from traditional church.
Mm.
No. And I say that because a lot of people who have gone to or who have switched over to the millennial church mm-hmm. are people who have been like a lot of them. If you talk to them, many of them have not been in church for years. Or if they've gone to church, they've just gone to church just to say that they can go. They haven't been in a place where they're building their relationship or they're growing their relationship with God.
Uh-huh.
It's more so like a lot of them, me being one of them, like I need a break.
Uh-huh.
I need a break from church. Yeah. So, I think the millennial church gives us just enough of gives us God, but it gives us just enough of a little bit of tradition
uh-huh.
to where we feel comfortable. But it's like it's more God, it's more of what we need, what we've been yearning for, as opposed to
kind of going back to like being able to apply it.
Right, and or not even that, being fed.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to look at it that way, yeah, that's definitely true. Go ahead, Marquise. I see that.
Something else. I think too, like another good point for the millennial. Like, I feel like the millennials is getting a bunch of points right now. The millennial helps kind of push. A lot of your gifts, in a sense,
mm-hmm.
like
using people.
Yeah, it helps. It uses people, like not uses people, but it.
Yeah.
Not in that sense.
Not in that sense. Some people gonna take it the wrong way. You know,
right?
This is the internet.
Using their gifts.
I'm gonna say use their gifts. Yeah,
use their gifts. Like it. You see more young pastors now. You see mm-hmm. more. Mm-hmm. Not saying all of them are correct, but you see more of those type of things now. It's not just, oh, well, this this older guy's.
Hold on one divine. Second. No.
Your camera died.
So what?
And we're still fresh.
No. That's right. Right. This video thing might be changing locations if you know. If things work out.
Stay tuned.
But yeah, we want to jump back into the conversation. And we were talking about, you were saying youth and their gifts.
The youth being able, the youth.
Because that's what they call it.
It only happens when you under recording. But the youth.
It's not like you're preaching.
Right. Get to explore their gifts. Like they start to evolve in their gifts versus you having to do it when you're a lot older.
Mm-hmm.
You get to kind of see that you have a purpose, just like the pastor or whoever else.
Their gifts and their callings.
Yeah, your gifts and your callings. I didn't feel like you might have had that in traditional, but I don't feel
it,
like
you had it, but it wasn't as common as it is now.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's like, well, let me, for what I've seen, what I've experienced, it's been more so the pastor's children or preacher's children that
traditional that. Passed down from the family.
Not necessarily right. just
somebody anybody. Who's a member of the church. Maybe yeah. That's the more of the perspective I was seeing it from. Like, mm-hmm. I don't remember that being something that they explored, with the youth so much. Yeah. So
passed
yeah.
down to them heathens. You know, the pastor's kids always was the
PKs.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I always be like, I was a DK. Mm. Like, what? A deacon's kid. They were like, Kim, stop forcing it.
We gotta get a PK on the show. I wanna hear something from a PK.
That'll be interesting. That would definitely be interesting.
Do we know any? Well, I know some, but they
know. I know some
local.
Yeah, I think
one of my homeboys, he's a PK. So
he local?
Yeah, he local. He come down.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to hear that perspective. Yeah. They probably got some good stories for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let me ask some more questions. Do you think in the aspect of the traditional versus the millennial church that it has changed, like, people's relationship with religion?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, are people more accepting of the religious part of it, as far as people not wanting or feeling like they should be in a church? Like, going back to that special
by Marcus Wiley.
Yeah.
Special.
Yeah, where he's talking about the church and, like, people saying, like, oh, I'm not into religion or I don't go to church, and asking, like, mm-hmm. why, and him getting into, like, you know, church is far beyond the four buildings of the wall, mm-hmm. and the religion is far beyond the four buildings of the wall, and he used, you know, Chick-fil-A and Walmart and all these different places as an example of how we practice religion.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, so do you think now that we have these changes to the church, do you think that affects how people accept or are open to religion?
Like, for me, I absolutely do believe that. And I would say, because in my experience with traditional church, it's more so ministry is church.
Mm-hmm.
That is your ministry.
Yeah.
Whereas now I've seen ministries where people are giving to the homeless, people are mm-hmm. are giving to women who are trying to escape abusive households or mm-hmm. coming off of sex or have been rescued from sex trafficking. That is their ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily, oh, my ministry is I'm preaching the gospel at on a podium.
Yeah.
But it's more so I'm out in the street showing God's love.
Even like what we're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. That's your perspective. Yeah. My case.
Yeah. I think it's changed a lot. I mean, it's open arms right now. Of course, like I said, I couldn't stand church. So this is living proof that the millennial church has gotten me to a point where
come on and testify.
I can accept like I can accept Jesus and God now because it was more, like I said, I didn't feel judged or anything like that. It was just more appealing to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Versus the other style. And the other style may have changed over the years, but it, like you said, it's just a whole lot that can bring you closer because you see other people that is a little more free uh-huh. roaming. Mm-hmm. It's not as okay, you can't do this, you can't do that.
More so old school is like, if you want to be a Christian, you got to fit in this box,
right?
Whereas right. the millennial is like, oh, you want to be Christian? Come on, let me show you what you need to do. So this how you know what I'm saying? Right, it breaks right. it down. But yeah,
it's more of I kind of stepped away from, but it's more of you living your life, but living it according to God.
And that's so good.
That was that was my big thing. Like I kind of started seeing myself trying to live closer to what I thought a Christian was supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. Versus now I'm like, hey, I mean, and it's one of those things where people use that verse. I mean, not verse, but that saying, only God can judge me. And I'm like, eh.
That's a lie.
Yeah. With that ultimately means, like, is the fact that God created you to be you and be you only, not someone else. And that's what a lot of times we fail to realize, and we start being somebody else. We start, oh, I gotta pray like this, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. But no, just the millennial church helped me be me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People feel more open and accepted.
All right.
And able to be their self.
Yeah. Like, not to say that you can't be yourself in the traditional church, but like there's more restrictions mm-hmm. that you felt like you had to fall under, from the dress code to the.
I mean, like you said, like it's you think a certain way before you do things, more yeah. so in a traditional church than you do in a millennial church. Not saying yeah. that you don't in a millennial church, but yeah. it's a different perspective of it. And it's like, it's almost like you have to earn the love mm-hmm. in a traditional church, whereas yeah. in a millennial church, they teach you, there's
you are
nothing
loved.
You can do that can yeah. earn your love. You are loved.
Right.
And not yeah. to say that there's not flaws in either one.
Right. Both oh, definitely.
Of them right.
have their flaws, and both of them have their teachings. But one of the biggest flaws I feel like is in both of them. I mean, it's not in all churches, but the fact that sometimes you have to hide your sin. I just feel like in traditional, you had to hide your sin a lot more because you knew if you sinned, you had to go to the front. In some churches. Mm-hmm.
The sin was hidden because they had to go up in the front. But
yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, but you know I ain't trying to go up front, so I ain't going to tell nobody what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. I'll leave before I do that.
Right.
Where's Sister Salsa? She gone, girl. She
right,
gone.
But the millennial, you technically, I mean, you still kind of hide it. You'll say it to some people here and there,
yeah.
but you definitely don't want to say it in front of thousands of people.
Right.
Versus
right.
the 200 right. in your old church. So it still needs to be a place where you can express your sin and say, hey, I need help with this, without feeling like, oh, I got to tell everybody that I'm going through this.
Yeah.
So that's a flaw that I see on both sides.
And you're saying that we're more so, the millennial church is more graceful to mm-hmm. other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're more open because we understand more so that it's deeper than the surface of mm-hmm. why you're going through, why you're doing this, why you're doing that. So we extend more grace.
Mm-hmm.
Than a traditional church.
I definitely can see that.
So yeah.
All right, y'all. We probably can wrap this up because we've been talking for a minute.
Yeah.
Listen, I tell y'all, we could go. We could talk.
Yeah.
Especially me.
So y'all, we want y'all to get into this conversation, y'all. Like for real. This season, get in this conversation with us. So we want to know, our social media poll for this episode is, what does the ideal church look like for you? Are you more traditional? Are you more new school, millennial, or are you, do you like a mixture of both? For me, I'm more so of a blend, but a little more new school and a little less old school. So we want to know how y'all feel. So you can reach us on Instagram and Facebook at relationshipxreligion.com. And y'all, hopefully y'all watching this, because we've been doing this for 2 episodes and 2 bonuses. So check us out on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because we ain't going to be recording this and ain't nobody watching this.
Right.
So y'all, click that subscribe button. Comment below.
Let me talk to the people real quick.
I put in a lot of work. Right.
To get these cameras rolling.
Listen. Lights. Cameras.
Yeah.
You putting in that work.
Watch.
I'm going to need y'all to get on YouTube.
That's all I'm going to say. Watch.
I just want to say.
And subscribe.
I was going to say, I, as much as I watch YouTube channels. Right. And stuff, I always want to say, like, comment, and subscribe.
All right. Help the algorithm.
We goofy. Right. We goofy.
All right, y'all. So just a quick recap of this. We're talking about the traditional versus the millennial church and the different aspects of it that have affected how and if we are open to religion, open to relationship with God, the things that we fall into or are open to because of things that we've learned from being in traditional church or things we've learned from going to a traditional church and are the more accepting parts that have come with the traditional, with the millennial church, and you know, more of the, I guess, current things that are affecting us, and the making sure that they relate things back to our lives as they currently are happening, versus in the traditional church where it's more so being told,
right?
And you know, not knowing necessarily how to apply those things to your life, but still trying to be this quote unquote perfect Christian, based off of what you've been told in church, and how, as our generation, we have begun to lean more towards the millennial church, even if we grew up in a traditional church, because of, we feel like, and now we're learning something. Now we're applying these things. They are applicable to our lives now versus when we were younger. And that is a part of it. Growing up, we take things in, but then as we get older, we need to know what we need to do with them. And that part doesn't necessarily exist in the traditional church in some places. We can't say all, but in the places at least that we've experienced, it doesn't exist. And then how, with the current times, you know, we are being affected by COVID, and now we don't have the not necessarily, we still have the four walls of the church as we're getting back to what is quote unquote normal,
right? Slowly but surely.
A lot of people have come to get involved in church because they're able to stream it and not necessarily have to be in the building. The traditional church had to come into that, so they had to come into the current times and get with it. If we didn't have the ability to connect with our congregation, if you were in a traditional church that did not live stream or record the message, so now for a traditional church, you, things have got to change in some ways. Like, you can't stay the same and expect for people to just go with the flow.
Like we always say, we want you to be persuaded by religion, but fully convinced by the relationship with God. And this is Relationship X Religion Podcast.